score. She's down to her final shot here. Can you believe it? The American Ninja Warrior podcast starts now.
Hey, I'm Nikki Lee, editor of ANWNation.com, and you're listening to the American Ninja Warrior podcast. In the blink of an eye, city finals are done for season 11. I just want to say thank goodness for Cincinnati. After having zero finishers in Seattle and Baltimore, the Ninjas surpassed our wildest expectations. Today on the American Ninja Warrior podcast, I'm chatting with competitor Jessie Lebrecq about her unforgettable run. Akbar Bajabiamila has more to say on that.
Wow. This night, American Ninja Warrior closed out the city finals with a bang, to say the least. After four seasons of waiting for it, we saw not one, but two women complete the extended course. Michelle Warnke and Jessie Lebrecq have been after that goal for years. And when it came time, they made it look easy. Jessie Lebrecq sits down with Nikki Lee on today's American Ninja Warrior podcast to revisit that downright magical night. Jessie also shares how growing up as an athlete has turned her into a youth ninja coach who's inspiring the next generation of competitors.
I'm here today with Jessie Lebrecq, and we are going to talk about the Cincinnati City Finals because I would say it was a pretty good night for you.
Yes, I would say it was probably one of the best nights that I have ever had. I've never left Ninja feeling so accomplished, I feel like. When you get a city qualifiers buzzer, you always know that very soon you have another very big goal on your plate. And so I've never left city finals feeling successful. And so finally just feeling like I accomplished everything I wanted to accomplish was a really nice feeling.
What did you think when you first saw that finals course?
It was actually the first finals course that I thought I could complete. It was a lot of tricky obstacles, and you just had to be very precise with your movements, and it wasn't necessarily like grueling strength obstacles. And so I think that my technique is kind of what helps me, you know, close that gap of where my strength is lacking. And so it was the first course that I looked at that I thought, this is it. This is the one that I'm going to beat. And so I just went for it with everything I had.
How many years would you say that this city finals buzzer has been a goal of yours? How long have you been working towards this?
I would say I've been working towards it since my second season. My first season, I didn't really have expectations. I feel like I was very naive and didn't really know what was going on or what I was doing. But it was just, I loved doing obstacles, so I was having fun. And then you get really addicted to it. And then you get addicted to buzzers and goals. And so I set that goal of hitting that city finals buzzer pretty early on.
So that night, it was you and Michelle Warnke who went up that tower together.
Yeah.
What did it feel like to realize like that was going to happen? Like this is going to be real?
I was so incredibly happy for her. Mm-hmm. She was one of the first female ninjas that I ever met and definitely a huge inspiration to me. She's extremely strong, someone I looked up to, someone whose footage I used to watch all the time to, you know, get technique and just kind of find, you know, get all the information about ninja. She was just so helpful. And so we also did the Fantastic Four. You know, we were the Fantastic Four together. So being Michelle, like I was so happy for her and couldn't have asked for anything more for her, and it just showed me that it was possible too. She kind of broke that barrier that had been in place for so long. It felt like we were never gonna beat it, you know. It just kept not happening, and so finally she hit that buzzer, and then I was right after her.
Do you remember what obstacles 8 and 9 were like for you on the course?
I think I remember. Sometimes I black out a little bit while I'm doing the obstacles. Obstacle 8, like the basketball hoop one, it just felt very strange. It was very strange to take an obstacle and fly through the air with it to hit onto another one. It's like we've never really had an obstacle like that before. I remember thinking it was weird, but really exciting. And then obstacle 9, I actually got a little crazy of a swing on the very first one. I kind of started spinning And I felt that buzzer slipping away. Mm-hmm. And I just had to tell myself, like, calm down. Like, you can do this. You can hang for a very long time. Just wait until it's lined up right. And, like, don't miss this. Like, don't mess up. If you panic, you're going to miss it. So don't panic and just go for it.
Was the spider trap everything you dreamed it would be?
The spider drop, the actual, like, being in the jumping spider wasn't bad, but those doors were so heavy. Like, I did not realize how heavy they would feel. And I didn't have great technique on pushing them up and over because you can't really practice that. And so I definitely struggled a tiny bit with those. Slammed my fingers in it. Ooh. A little bit. It was bleeding everywhere. It's fine. but yeah, they were really heavy. And it was definitely a little bit harder than I was thinking it was going to be.
I remember seeing you look at your fingers and being like, what is going on up there? Is she like checking on her nails right now?
Yeah, right? Yeah, I slammed it in the door. My hand kind of went over the top of it and I didn't realize. And I went to shut the door and it kind of like bounced out and it cut across my fingers. And I thought, ow, that hurt. And I was like, whatever, just keep going. And then out of the corner of my eye saw that like the red blood like coming down my fingers. So yeah, that didn't feel great.
But you looked almost relaxed on your last obstacle. I remember we were joking with each other down on the ground. I was like, she looks like she could do this again. She could just, you know, send her back to the start, send her through again. What were you actually feeling?
I felt solid in my feet, so I knew that I could hang out there for a long time. Mm-hmm. So I did feel like, I didn't feel relaxed, but I felt confident that I wasn't going to drop. If I could get those doors open, I was like, man, if I can't get past this door, I'm eventually going to fall. But I knew that I could hang out there for a little while and rest my arms and then push open those doors if I needed to. So I did feel confident, but definitely not relaxed.
How's the view from up there?
The view is awesome. I was definitely more tired than I thought I would be, and my hand was hurting. So I didn't get to enjoy it like I really wanted to. But after they did a couple, you know, behind the scenes stuff, they did a couple of shots with Michelle and I up top of us up there together. And I loved that they had us up there doing that because I really got to soak it in when I didn't necessarily soak it in as much as I wanted to when I had just hit the buzzer. Mm-hmm. And it was nice to be up there with Michelle. And so I think that was like definitely like my favorite part was being up there with her and just standing up there and just knowing that we both did it.
So that is a huge goal to have crossed off your list. How does it feel after that? I mean, there's so much anticipation. You put so much into getting to that goal and then it's done. You'll always have that now. What does that feel like?
For a while, it almost felt like it didn't even happen. It's just you work so hard for something. And a part of you just almost like wonders if you're ever going to get it, even though like I always think I'm going to, but with Ninja, you never know. And so there's always a part of you that's like, man, am I ever going to reach that goal? And so finally reaching it, I think even after driving home, like I don't even think it sunk in for a very long time. I don't know if it will sink in until I see it happen, like on TV, I guess. I don't know.
Once you see the footage back.
Yeah, once I see it back, maybe it will like really happen, but I don't know. It's just, it was like almost like an out of body, like just like experience. It was crazy.
So in the time that you've had this city finals goal, your life has also pretty much become Ninja Warrior.
Yes.
You're coaching at the gym in Naperville still. Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you're coaching kids now.
Yes.
What age groups are you working with?
From 6 to 16.
Okay. What is that like? That's a large gamut of age developments to cross.
Definitely. You know, I work with, you know, 6-year-olds who are learning just how to pull back on a ring to get to the next ring, how to run and jump with 2 feet off of a trampoline. And then I'm working with 16-year-olds who are beating me on speed courses. So, you know, there is a very wide variety of kids and their strengths. But we're also working on things outside of just getting stronger at Ninja, you know, how to lose, how to be a good teammate, how to have good sportsmanship. We work on a lot of things with those kids, not just like how to be a better ninja.
Is that something you see some of your students struggle with, learning how to go through those wide ranges of emotions that sports can bring up?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we have kids who, you know, were like really great coming in just naturally. And then you have kids that come in that weren't as great naturally and they work extremely hard. And those kids that are working harder will start beating those naturally talented kids. Mm. And it's very hard for kids. It's just, they go through a lot of life lessons just in ninja, and they're learning at very young ages, or they're going through those things at very young ages. And so we go through a lot of different things, and we have to work through a lot of different things with kids.
What would you say are some of the obstacles that you see your younger students facing versus some of the obstacles, emotional obstacles, that your older students face?
Yeah, I think it's for the younger kids, it's harder for them to lose. Mm-hmm. The older kids, they get a little bit, you know, they understand, they get a little bit better at it. For the younger kids, it's definitely losing is just hard for them. Mm-hmm. Not getting something that their friend can get. It's hard for them to understand why. Sometimes the, you know, the drive, the determination, the outside practice, all of those things are factors, and they don't realize that. They don't understand that. They don't understand that if they give up halfway through practice, next week practice is going to be harder, and it's never going to get easier if they always just kind of give up when it gets hard. For the older kids, man, they're so great. My older kids, they're so great to work with. But I think for the older kids, it's the pressure. They'll start to put a lot of pressure on themselves, and that pressure will actually like hinder them from doing better on the courses. I think just putting their own like self pressure on themselves and like working through it.
Yeah, you said something to me earlier that I thought was a really powerful example of how you are as a coach. That it's 50%, you know, developing muscle, but it's 50% developing them as athletes.
Yeah,
is that something you can relate to? Is something you've gone through in your own life?
Yeah, for sure. I had a college coach who definitely had to work on a lot of like my mental, like me being a mental athlete with track. Track is just a very mental sport. It's just you, yourself. You don't have anybody else to rely on. And so my coach had to work through a lot of that stuff with me. I would always get to regionals and I would do the worst I've ever done in the entire season, but I was the most prepared for it. But it was because mentally I would be up against these girls that were just so strong and so talented, and I would like almost put it in my own head that I wasn't as good as them, and then I would not be as good. And so I think the mental strength is so important, and I think it is something that I definitely have to work so hard with these kids. I definitely, having my teaching background and like my track background, it's definitely me who is sitting down with the kids and working them through a lot of this stuff. Chris is an amazing coach and he's really good with all the technique stuff, but I feel like one of my strengths is definitely working with the kids on like the mental aspect.
How old were you when you started getting into track?
I was in sixth grade, so I think 11 or 12 is when I started doing it.
Right. And you grew up in Maine, right? Which we were joking about, the very short outdoor track season in Maine.
Yes, very short. Lots of indoor track season. Indoors, we were practicing in our hallways. We had the hurdles lined up. There was two lanes of hurdles. And if you fell, you were going into lockers. So you didn't fall.
Some nice bruises to show for that.
Yeah, definitely. It was definitely intimidating. But like when you get out on a wide open track, it felt so good. So it was like, I feel like it was good training, because when you got into like a real rubber track, it was amazing.
Yeah, it was like training with a weight vest on and
exactly
then ripping it off.
Yeah.
So what drew you to track in the first place?
My parents moved around a lot when I was a kid, and so I didn't want to be on a team sport and let somebody down because I wasn't very good or didn't know how to play. I was very nervous of letting my team down, whereas track, it's very individual. You only, you know, let yourself down, or you only have to really focus on yourself. And so, and it's one of those sports where a lot of kids will just do it because it's fun, and it's like a no cut sport in Maine. So you can be really bad and not get cut from it and still be on a team and be with your friends. So that's why I started it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until high school that I got really competitive at it. I started in the 400 and I hated it, but I was second in the state for 2 years, and it was just something that was just kept driving me. The girl graduated that I came in second to, and I was like, I don't want to be first place now just because she left. So I decided to do hurdles instead, which ended up being an even better obstacle event for me. I'm so stuck on ninja. It ended up being a better event for me anyway. So my junior year is when I started doing hurdles, and that's when I got extremely competitive in it, and I wanted to go to college for track after that.
What is it, once you got into it and you got into the sport before the success came with it, that really kept you going in it?
I think it just being on a team, like having teammates and just being with friends all the time. And it just, it's just fun. Like you're just doing these natural things that kids love to do, running and jumping, landing on pads, landing in sand. Like it was all stuff that I just thought was really fun. And I got to be outside with my friends. And so I just enjoyed that aspect of it for at first.
You've mentioned with your students that one of the things you need to teach them is how to deal with failure or, you know, not doing as well in a competition as they wanted to do. And you mentioned one of the reasons you were drawn to track was because you didn't want to join a team sport in that sense because you didn't want to disappoint anyone.
Yeah.
Can you remember a time where, or multiple times where you've had to learn that lesson early?
Yeah, I mean, track does feel very individual, but obviously there's still relays and there still is that team aspect where you're earning points for your team. And at the end, your team could lose because you don't do what you're supposed to do. But when I was a kid, I didn't know that. So that's why when I was in junior high, I didn't know that. But yeah, there was definitely some relays or, you know, I fell one time in hurdles and I was supposed to get first place, which is 10 points, which is a lot of points. And I fell. And I didn't get any points. And so just knowing that there is going to be that disappointment, there is going to be times where you don't reach your goals. There a lot of times, probably a lot more times you're going to not reach your goal than you are going to reach your goal is what I definitely found in track. Basically in track, you're only happy if you PR, which personal record, you get a, you beat your best, or, you know, you place really well at a very high ranked meet. So I definitely through track, like I thought it was going to be a sport where I didn't disappoint others, but I mean, I feel like I just learned a lot for myself, like how to get over that and how to keep working and keep driving towards getting better and working towards those goals.
How would you go through that process? Like, how did that frustration manifest for you? And then how did you work through it?
I think I just kind of like ball it up and I put it in my stomach and I just told myself that that is what's going to keep driving you to work harder at the next practice. Mm-hmm. That's what's going to keep driving you to be better, like just not give up when things get hard or tough or it hurts too bad. Like that's when you keep fighting for it. I talk to myself a lot while I'm training, while I was sprinting or running or whatever. I would talk to myself a lot about like, you want this, you have to work for this. It doesn't hurt that bad. You're fine. You're going to get through this. This is where it's going to count. So I think I just talk to myself a lot and just use that, like that being frustrated with not getting your goals as to motivate me to train harder for like the next practices and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever go through a time early in your career where you hadn't learned that process yet and you were still figuring out what to do with those frustrations and beating yourself up after a failed competition?
I definitely think, yeah, there are times where it's just, it's hard to work through it. Mm-hmm. You don't understand how to work through it. You don't understand what it's like to be frustrated or really disappointed and how to get over it. That's when you rely on your friends and your teammates and your parents. That's probably what I did the most, was probably just rely on my parents, let them help me figure out how to work through that. Because when you're that young, it's harder to talk to your coaches because you don't look at them as someone that you can kind of confide in. So I definitely used my parents a lot in the beginning, and both of my parents were athletes. Okay. So they were pretty good at helping me through it. And my dad, especially he did cross country and wrestling and all that kinds of stuff too. So just working on like explaining to me like things like that are going to happen. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
As a coach now, do you ever see things in your students that you recognize from yourself as a young athlete?
Definitely. My kids are very competitive, like me. They're very competitive. They have a lot of drive, but they also, like, we instill in them that it's good to have fun. Mm-hmm. Like, this is supposed to be fun. And if you're not having fun anymore, especially at this age in doing ninja, like, you have a lot longer to do ninja. If you're not having fun now, it's not going to be an enjoyable sport for you.
Right.
So we try to put that in their minds that this is supposed to be an enjoyable, fun, like, strength-building sport mentally and physically. Mm-hmm. And so I do see myself in them, which is why I try to work through those things and try to help them early on, because I'm with these kids so much, I really do get to know them. So I feel like they do come to me, they do tell me how they're feeling, and we can work through that together.
So you were saying it's hard for them to talk to your parents, but you want to be there for them. How do you bridge that gap when you've been there before, you know what they're going through, but you don't necessarily want to interject too much in their lives?
Yeah, I can see when they get frustrated. I know these kids well enough now that I can tell when something's off or when something's wrong. And I will just pull them aside in a quiet spot where nobody can see that, you know, Coach Jesse's talking to them, so they're not, like, in trouble. And I'll just say, hey, like, what's going on? Tell me what's going on in your mind right now. I try to really simplify it for them. I don't try to say, hey, I saw you did this. Are you feeling this? I don't try to guess. I don't try to put it in their mind what they're feeling. I will literally just say, like, hey, what is going on? Like, how can I help you? And a lot of times they will open up. Sometimes they won't, and that's okay. I'll usually, like, talk to their parents and see if I can try to figure it out. But a lot of times they'll open up and we'll start to work through things. And even if we don't figure it out right then, at least I know what's going on, and I can look out for it, and we can have more conversations about it that will hopefully help them, you know, work through it.
Right. Does that skill come from your teaching background, your athletic background, or a little bit of both?
I feel like it comes from both backgrounds, teaching and athletic, just knowing, like, what those feelings feel like, for sure. And then learning how to talk to kids, I definitely got from teaching. Mm-hmm. Being around kids a lot, having my own classroom and having the same, you know, same group of kids for an entire year, you really learn how to get through to them and how to help them through, like, their struggles.
Can you give us a quick recap on your teaching career?
Yeah, so I graduated from University of Maine with an elementary education degree, and then I taught in Belgrade, Maine. I taught fourth grade for 1 year.
So does it feel full circle now that you're teaching Ninja Warrior?
100%. I feel like this is absolutely where I'm supposed to be. I think I was always supposed to work with kids, and I was always supposed to teach kids, but I've said this before, like, I hated elementary school. I don't know why I thought I would want to teach elementary school. Like, I don't know. I love working with kids, so I guess that's why I thought. I definitely should have been either a phys ed teacher, but now that Ninja is here, it's perfect. I am exactly where I'm supposed to be, teaching these kids. Ninja, they want to be there, and they want to learn from me, and it's awesome.
What do you find to be personally most challenging about being a coach for youth?
I think I find the most challenging part is seeing potential in a kid and them not working hard for it. I was such, like, a driven kid, and I, like, would get so, to this day, I still get so addicted to, like, a certain sport. Like, I'm so addicted to Ninja and rock climbing and, like, all that kind of stuff. With track, like, I was so driven and self-motivated. I didn't need someone to tell me to practice or to work out a lot. And so, like, seeing a kid that is just so strong naturally but doesn't really want to work hard for it is really tough to see. Mm-hmm. And, like, you can't make somebody want it.
Right. What do you do in that situation?
You try to get them to get that self-motivation. You try to motivate them yourselves, but there's only so much you can do. Challenge them, give them fun and exciting challenges and workouts. Just try to make it as enjoyable as possible, because sometimes maybe they don't like it because they don't enjoy it. I don't know. It's hard for me to really, like, connect with those kids, because that's not, you know, how I was.
Right.
But you just honestly just keep it positive and do, like, the, you know, a lot of encouragement, because sometimes there's reasons why they aren't motivated, but you just don't know it for a while.
Right. On the opposite end of that,
yes.
How do you deal with students who come in and they've got the drive, they've got the passion for the sport, but they're not coming in with that same skill level that those other students have?
Those kids are the best ones to work with. They're so fun. They're so motivated, and they're just willing to work really hard. There's one girl in particular that just keeps coming to my mind where she definitely doesn't have the natural ability, but is very good now after a year and a half of working out at our gym, almost 2 years. She is so good because she works so hard. Every single practice, gives it her all, comes in for open gyms on the weekends all the time, comes in with a smile on her face every single class, every single practice, and leaves with it too. And just, you never Like, you have to tell her to stop or to leave, you know, like, okay, that's enough. You're going to hurt yourself because you're training too hard. And so those are the kids that you love working with because they just have that drive and that passion for the sport. And you can always adapt the obstacles to make them a little bit easier for someone so they can get stronger and build that strength on it. It's a lot harder to make someone do a harder obstacle, you know?
Right. What do you say to those students in the moments where they might be feeling frustration because they're not advancing as quickly or they're struggling to get a new skill? What do you say to them to keep them going?
We talk about how it's a lot of you against the course and not trying to compare yourself against other people. I talk with them about how all I have is male training partners and how it is really hard for me sometimes where I have to make, they'll do a course and I have to make every obstacle on the course a little bit easier for me. And they still beat me. And it is definitely like, it brings me down a little bit sometimes. And I talk with them about like how I struggle with that, but how I'm still getting stronger by doing stuff like that. I'm still getting stronger by working with people who are stronger than me. And all we're trying to do is strengthen ourselves and not necessarily like win every competition.
So that's something you still feel today in Ninja Warrior?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So bringing that back to Ninja Warrior, now that you're a full-grown adult, you've seen these students going through these processes. How do you deal with those moments in ninja competitions now that don't go the way that you plan?
It's hard. It is. It's really tough. You just have to, sometimes you just have to, like I said before, I literally will just ball it up and I put it deep down and I tell myself that is going to be what's going to drive me going forward. I don't try to hide it. Don't try to mask it. I just use that frustration and that, like, honestly, it hurts. It hurts sometimes. And so I put that, like, that pain down in my belly, and when I'm training, I use that to help me keep going. I have a drive, and I use that to help that, you know, to help fuel that drive.
Speaking of that drive, you've crossed off one huge goal for the Ninja Warrior season so far.
Yes.
What would be your next goal then?
My next goal is to hit the stage one buzzer.
What do you think goes into making that happen?
I think I have the strength. I think I have the cardio. I think it's just not letting the pressure and the nerves get to me. I think it's, I need to be more present on the course, more aware, because with the stage one being a timed course and it being very fast, just one obstacle after another, it's hard to not just black out and let my body take over. I need to stay mentally more present in the stage.
How do you train that mental preparedness?
Oh, I don't know. I guess doing really hard, long obstacles and really tiring myself out and just really trying to be present when I'm extremely winded or tired. I would say do more competitions, but I do a lot of competitions. And I don't know. I think it's just focusing on that while I'm training, just working on just being present.
You mentioned earlier that you had a coach in college that gave you a lot of help and perspective. Are there any words of wisdom that you still think back on from that coach?
Yeah, 100%. Just confidence in myself. When I had that lack of confidence, I definitely relied on him, and he was that confidence for me. Now I don't have him anymore, so I have to do it for myself. You know, I have to be confident, and I think that's so huge in ninja, just being confident in your moves and your capability of, like, everything you can do. I think it's just the confidence thing is what I still, like, bring with me from him.
And that's also what you're passing to your students.
Yes, for sure. Confidence, for sure.
So now that you've hit a city finals buzzer, Michelle got a city finals buzzer, do you think this is going to open the floodgates?
I hope so. That's what we want. You know, that's why, that's what all of us are really fighting for. It's what, I mean, every time we heard of like a city going on, it's like the first thing is like, did a female make it to the end? And so we're all like just rooting for each other. So I'm hoping there's more of us because we want to just keep showing how strong these ladies are.
Great. Well, you're through to the national finals. We can say that. So that's very exciting.
Yes.
And if you heard any background noise, that's actually because we are at the national finals.
Yes.
So thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate you taking the time in the middle of competition.
Yes, of course.
And we'll find out about that stage one goal in the near future.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
And with that, American Ninja Warrior is off to the national finals. That means there are only 4 episodes left this season, and things are only going to get more intense. Tune in next week for some more behind-the-scenes insights.
And history has been made! Shut the front door! She's down to her